The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The Devin Booker ejection last night. I don't know. But even with that, Phoenix taking it to the Lakers. And tonight, Harden returns to Houston. We have it all with this panel. Go Flashy, Israel Gutierrez, Monica McNutt, Jackie McCullough. Let's go.
All right, guys. What do we got today?
We're going first on the Lakers. I'm ready.
Oh, it's shocking.
We got better tonight. Character win. Those are just some of the quotes coming out of Suns 114, Lakers 104. And Phoenix doing it without Devin Booker. We'll get to his ejection in a second. First, how do you characterize this win for the Phoenix Suns, Jackie?
It's another in a long line of big wins for the Phoenix Suns, Tony. I know what everybody's going to say. Maybe my friend in plasma over there. Well, the Lakers were undermanned and all of that, but they've
don't
beaten the Bucks.
Don't put words in my mouth.
Okay,
don't
I'll try not to.
Don't put words in my mouth, Jackie.
But this is a team that belongs in this discussion that we've had. There are only two teams in the top 10 in both offense and defense. You know what one of them is, right, Tony?
Mm-hmm.
Utah. I'm playing the game. You play with us all the
yes,
time.
Yes, yeah,
and the other
very
one
well.
Is the Phoenix Suns. They're also number one in the league in assist ratio, and you can thank Chris Paul for that. Everybody was wondering how much Chris Paul had left. He has plenty enough left to get this team, which is a really nice blend of veterans and young players, playing about as good as anybody is playing right now. And when your big-time scorer like Booker goes out in the third quarter under those circumstances, and you still keep putting your foot to the metal and take care of business, that's a team that belongs in the discussion among the top teams.
Oh, you were doing great until you told us about the discussion. We're in the discussion, Jackie. Welcome to the discussion. Let's see, who else can talk about Phoenix LA last night? Monica, let's go to you.
Oh, Tony.
Sorry, Flashy. I do love the stats that Jackie mentioned, but I got to go to the eye test in terms of this group. Are they going to be in the top half of the Western Conference? For sure. But do they have enough to get over the hump? I'm not necessarily sold. I agree that this was certainly a character win. Yes, they have wins over the Bucks and the Sixers. In fact, back to back. But it took me back to the loss to the Nets, 128-124, when they led most of that game and had a fourth quarter collapse. So finishing today, or last night rather, it was a 7-point game when Booker went out in the third quarter. Finishing, I think, speaks to them growing in their character.
Israel, did you see a character win for Phoenix last night?
I do. I also don't think that I know it's Wednesday, but it's not necessarily about getting over the hump. Sometimes it's just seeing from the top of the hump. And if you're Phoenix right now, that's where they are. They're just going from a team that was, I wouldn't say underrated, I was probably underperformed rather. And now it seems like with Chris Paul can be a playoff team, can be a top four team in the West. I'm not saying that this team has to win a championship even anytime soon, but right now this is exactly what you want to see from them. And to say the reason, I mean, you could say Devin Booker's growth, you could talk about Monty Williams, you could talk about DeAndre Ayton, but Chris Paul, man, the criticism that he gets for not getting far enough in the playoff sort of overshadows all the things that he has done. And you look at the different styles of teams he's been with. Houston, the complete antithesis of this team, where it's not spread out with Phoenix has seven guys averaging double figures. It was just a two-man team, and he thrived there. He can thrive here in Oklahoma City. He's just a great player, and it's so much fun to watch this team grow with him.
It looked like Monica took some umbrage with something you said about the aspirations for a championship. We'll get back to that, Monica, in a second. Next, okay, Bill Plaschke may be on Suns.
Everybody, slow your roll. Slow your roll. You know, LeBron scored 2.1 points per direct drive last night. That's the best of any NBA player this season going to the hoop.
Okay.
It couldn't stop LeBron. They didn't have Kuzma. They didn't have Anthony Davis. Yes, I agree. Phoenix is 15-3 since January 28th.
See, I put those words in your mouth for a reason.
Yeah. But, Bill, you're talking about they can't stop LeBron like anyone in the history of basketball in the last 18 years has been able to stop LeBron. But please, go ahead.
Well,
the Lakers
wants to
are
stop
on
LeBron, actually,
the
by
Lakers
a minute's
are also also, the Lakers play terrible at home because that's a horrible place with no fans. It's a big vacuum. It's like a ghost town.
A horrible
the Lakers
place.
Will be fine. All right. The Phoenix will win a round, but maybe that's about
all right. Just because you are a character doesn't mean you have character, Bill Plaschke. Last on McNutt, when you made that face, Israel saying title aspirations in Phoenix. Go ahead.
I mean, Izzy is right in the big picture, but I just would say that I don't think Chris Paul has the luxury of waiting time out. I mean, yes, they might not be a team ready to take the jump over the two other LA teams. Booker's got a super bright future, but Chris Paul is on the back half.
All right, so but let's just be clear here. Can't we just say that the Phoenix Suns are a really good team that may be involved in the higher end? I don't think any of us are saying after tonight that or last night that the Phoenix Suns should win the championship. They're a super well-coached team with a great young big man and a premier scorer and a really smart veteran. I like that combination. Isn't that all we're saying?
Can we talk about the Booker ejection? Because it was for profane language directed at a referee. Was it ejection worthy, Israel?
Absolutely not. If you watch it, it's just sort of all the same reaction to one call. And even the bounce pass that he gives Mark Davis there, which you would say maybe visually that's the reason he got the second one, it wasn't even Mark Davis who gave him that second technical foul. I am of the opinion there needs to be a 30-second clock that starts the second you get that first technical. And then you can just let it all out because there are different variations of what our guys are allowed to get away with, especially after the first one. Draymond Green gets away with all kinds of histrionics. Just give him 30 seconds and then maybe give him a second technical.
I think I'm picking up what you're putting down. Panel, thumbs up or thumbs down on Israel's idea here.
Oh, I like
you
that. Ollie, I would say this.
Go ahead.
10 seconds. 10 seconds. 30 seconds is too long.
Ten.
Give him a deep breath. 10 seconds. The time it takes to cross the ball off over the court, and that should be enough.
All right.
Because by then, one of your teammates is going to grab you and stop you.
Lakers Kings tonight. LeBron is sitting out. You've been writing it up for weeks, Bill Plaschke, but
hallelujah.
Also that it shouldn't stop here with one game. What are you saying, Bill?
I'm saying hallelujah, LeBron. Finally, listen to me. I've been saying this. I've been writing this in the LA Times. He needs more time off. And furthermore, I don't want to see him again until after the All-Star game. He should not go to the All-Star game. He's trying to lead a team on his back without its best player. He's 36 years old. He's been in 16 games already. There shouldn't even be an All-Star game. Everybody knows that. LeBron should not go. He's never been more empowered than he is now to lead the league on all kinds of issues. This is one issue he should take a stand on. The Lakers need him more. His city needs him more. Don't go to the All-Star
game. All right, let's go around the horn on Bill Plaschke there. Israel, should LeBron continue this sitting out tonight through the All-Star week?
He's thinking about it.
Definitely not through the All-Star week, and here's why. If he was going to sit out for that, it would have been earlier. He should have just declined from the very beginning rather than accept and go through all this and then pull out because he is the league. Guys will follow him. You could have a disaster on your hands at All-Star weekend if he bails, and then you get half the All-Stars bailing, and then it just makes the league look terrible, which, you know, by association makes LeBron look bad. So I would say if he goes and plays 5 minutes, fine, just show up. Don't bail on the All-Star game.
I'm torn on this one. I'm inclined to agree with Plaschke. I mean, the empowerment has never been higher. And if LeBron is wearing the cape for the rest of the league, we've already heard guys like Damian Lillard talk about not necessarily wanting to be there. Now, I do get the money that is involved here, but I think LeBron makes the call that he thinks is best for him and let the chips fall where they may.
Jackie Mack.
Yeah, but if LeBron is the person you guys are talking about, the face of the league, the one that has to speak for everyone, he knows that the Players Association signed off on this. They had to have signed off on this. And the money doesn't just, that TV money just doesn't go to the league, guys. It goes to the players as well. Does LeBron need the money? No, but a whole bunch of other people do. And that's why LeBron has to be there. He doesn't have to play a lot, doesn't have to do much of anything, but he has to be there, and he knows it.
Or,
he knows it.
If you're Quinn Snyder, and you're coaching LeBron in that game, maybe you'd throw him out there for 45 minutes. See what happens in the rest of the
You know what?
Season.
You know what he's going to say to Quinn Snyder?
He's got an ankle,
coach,
but Jackie,
my ankle hurts.
No
sit
way.
Me down.
Plaschke, you could have the last word.
He's got an ankle. Let him rest his ankle.
Everybody's got something. Jalen Brown's
he's
got
hurt.
A knee. Kyrie Irving's got his shoulder. Come on, man. You want
this
to
This is the first show Bill
like
and Jackie have been together in like 6 months, 9 months? I'm here for it. Let's go around that horn. One more story here. Nets Rockets tonight. James Harden's return to Houston. Now, of course, it won't be a full house, but 3,200 or so fans in the house for Houston. Monica, how do you think they'll treat James Harden? How do you think they should treat James Harden?
I'd like to believe that fans will applaud what he did. Three scoring titles there. He got the team as far as he could. But how will they? I think we're going to get a mixed bag in terms of reaction. I'd say break it up by quarters, maybe boo first, maybe cheer second, however you want to do it. But I got to say, this one to me isn't all about James Harden, how he left and how ugly it got down the stretch. He declined in July. The writing was on the wall.
Jackie Mack, how do you think Houston fans should and will receive James Harden tonight?
Well, I'm a little torn on this. I mean, the Houston fans certainly have a right to be upset with James Harden. The way he blew his way out of town was really unforgivable in some ways. But I can tell you from sources I've talked to throughout the league, he's very embarrassed by it. If he could do it over, he would do it differently. He has some remorse. He's expressed some of that, I think. So whatever the fans do, they have the right to do always. But I would like to think at some point, if they can stop and think for a minute about what he did for their city. If they don't, I respect that. I do respect
that. Plashke.
Yeah, he's embarrassed because what he did was embarrassing, Jackie. The fans need to boo him.
I agree.
And usually I'm not for them, for this, but they've been a lot of pent-up emotion there. He quit on them. He publicly said they weren't any good. He wanted out. He stopped playing. He walked out on them. I think now down the road, maybe in hindsight, maybe I know they said they're going to retire his jersey one day. That's fine if once he gets in the Hall of Fame. But right now, the gut reaction is the reaction to him leaving is the way he left. He should be booed.
Israel.
Yeah, I know I just mentioned that 30-second clock to sort of get your feelings out for a technical foul. I think fans should be allowed this time, right? This one time to let it all out and let James Harden hear it, because there's a shock value when you go from, hey, we could be on the top of the league if everything falls right, to absolutely being the worst in the league from one season to the next. And that, as a fan, it's just, again, it's literally every day of your life you're saying, hey, Houston Rockets, this is going to be fun. And then just like that, your star asks out, and now your team is garbage, and they're not fun to watch, and who knows when they can recover because you were the franchise, meaning James Harden. So if I'm a fan, not a citizen of Houston, a fan of the Houston Rockets, I'm going to let out my anger this one particular game.
Monica, it seems like you want to say something here. Please, floor is yours.
I mean, I take issue with the idea that he blew this whole thing up. He did what he had to do. We applaud athletes for using their voice. He used his voice. He tried to do it delicately by turning down the option in July, and the Rockets didn't want to make this thing amicable. It's not all on him.
Plashke?
There was nothing delicate about that, Monica. The way he walked out on him, he left him.
But he didn't have to go there, Plashke. That was after the fact. I just don't buy that he all of a sudden went straight to the media. When he declined in July, we need to start having real behind-the-scenes conversations and not trying to schmooze. Why, what?
Gutierrez, 24. McMullen, 19. McNutt, 7. Plashke, 7.
Yeah, what a surprise.
Taking a break right here. Bye, ourselves next.
Love you, Bill.
Around the Horn is brought to you by LegalZoom. Get legal help for your business and family at LegalZoom.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Greg McDermott, longtime Creighton coach. Let's pull his full statement here. He's admitted and acknowledged, he told his team in the postgame locker room after a loss on Saturday, "Guys, we got to stick together. We need both feet in. I need everybody to stay on the plantation. I can't have anybody leave the plantation." McDermott writing that he immediately recognized his egregious mistake and quickly addressed his use of such insensitive words with the team. that he never used that analogy and it's not indicative of who he is as a person or coach, and that he's deeply sorry. This happened on Saturday. McDermott's release coming out Tuesday. Assistant coach Terrence Rencher releasing a statement of his own. Here's that, saying he's deeply hurt by Coach McDermott's words. Columnist Tom Chattel in the Omaha World Herald. What happens now with Creighton coach Greg McDermott? Bill Plaschke, first to you.
I think he needs to be suspended. I think he needs to be suspended for the Big East tournament. I love the apology and all that's all good and well and good, but when he said he's never used an analogy before, I don't believe it. You just don't pop an analogy out of your head at this stage of your life. I mean, it seems to be an endemic misunderstanding of the history of this country and the horrible, you know, horrors that have happened in this country. And I think to make a true statement, get him off the bench for a week, let him think about it, let his players know that you understand their concern, you're listening to them.
Israel Gutierrez?
Well, I think that's part of it, Bill, and I think that's the crux of the issue here. When you have a leader, somebody in a position of power who doesn't have the wherewithal, who doesn't recognize that not only is it a trigger word, it's just not the setting or the analogy that you want to use in any sort of situation. And so I think that's where it comes, whether it be from education, rather than, you know, rushing to judge McDermott. I believe it's just a matter of education. And in the moment, you won't think of these words, or you'll actually have a better judgment and not use these types of analogies, because it's ridiculously harmful and takes away from everything you're trying to say. So I think it comes to an education thing, not so much as, hey, let's judge McDermott and then harm him and his team with a suspension as a result.
Monica McNutt.
Listen up, folks. Black history is American history, and thus, if we treated it as such, we would have less of a disconnect when we talk about these subjects. We still have plantation weddings and great photo shoots, and I can't say what people want to do in their personal lives, but the disconnect comes because we don't treat black history as American history. As far as the suspension thing, Flashy, I'm not sold on that, because I then think you begin to punish the entire team. If the players take this apology at face value, they can forgive, but they don't have to forget. They're moving into the most crucial time of their season, and I don't think they want this looming over them any more than it already is.
Jackie McMullen.
Yeah, this is such a difficult story, and Monica's right. When I read about it, I Googled plantation events, Monica. A whole bunch of them came up in the South, a whole bunch of them. So as Izzy talks about education, there's still a lot more to be done here for people to understand what that word means, what it should mean to all of us, just not to black Americans, what it should mean to all of us, and the connotations that it has. We're not there yet. I don't know if a suspension gets us there. If it does, I guess I would be in favor of that. I'm just not sure. I think he's going to, Coach McDermott's going to pay a very big price, well beyond the embarrassment of this. You've got doubt now probably in your locker room. You've got recruits that are going to think twice about a man that could say something like that. There's already going to be quite a bit of punishment here.
The analogy itself is not one of, I mean, I'll just heard personally, that I've ever heard of. I mean, is it an analogy that's out there, which is one interesting part of this? And then I've been working with Mike Wilbon for 20 years. He's been talking about it and writing about it long before this, right? The plantation mentality that's in college, that's in the NCAA, that's in professional sports. I mean, we've done a story about the NBA recently, about the NBA wanting to remove the term owners and call them governors, Monica, right? I mean, this is part of what sports is. So when you're talking about education, how do we move forward there?
Well, I definitely think that it serves as a very powerful, teachable moment. I guess my concern is just punishing the entire group. McDermott owned it immediately, and I know some cynics will say that he put this statement out to preempt it leaking from his locker room, but I can only imagine. I'm not that far removed from my college career. If a coach said that, immediately we're bristling. And so I believe him when he says he immediately acknowledged it. And I think in that moment, sometimes you got to get burned to realize fire is absolutely hot and remove the entire analogy from your vocabulary if this was legit a first time.
Do you want to add something?
Yeah, I just think it becomes with any sort of situation where somebody speaks flippantly or out of turn, and if they indeed do not know, then it literally just becomes an education thing, and you can do it as a group. You can learn about why it matters, just like, you know, when people use homophobic phrases and they just don't realize how that affects, you know, people on their everyday lives. You can learn in public. You can learn as a group. It's okay as long as you better yourself as a result.
Thanks for your thoughts on this, guys. Too often this becomes about, well, let's judge the apology and let's take a look at the apology and try to figure out, it's not that. But it was, I thought it was very good. The school released their statement, but also the assistant coach, Rencher, released his statement and gave his truth. Thoughts on all of that. Monica and Bill Plaschke star, no time today for talk. Israel Gutierrez, Jackie McMahon will be our showdown on the other side. 4 minutes, let's say.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Did the bracket get clearer or murkier last night? Baylor battling through layoff pains and West Virginia and getting the overtime win. Illinois without Ayo Dosunmu. Rolling Michigan. Duke falling to Georgia Tech in overtime. They're 11-10 now after the battle last week. Put them in marker in the bracket. So what was the biggest outcome, Israel?
I mean, to me, it was Michigan and the way they lost. They go in as a Final Four favorite, and then they get blown out. Illinois did not have their National Player of the Year candidate, Dosunmu, and they get out, and he still out-rebound Michigan by 16 and hold them below 40%. If I'm Michigan, I'm a little concerned going into the tournament.
Okay, but weren't we all so concerned about Baylor, so much so that's all we've been talking about? And now, with this overtime win over West Virginia, they're 4-0 against top 10 opponents, and they won their first conference championship in 70 years regular season.
No, that's great, Jackie.
Come on, man.
It's not all we're talking about. We're talking about a lot of things. Points for Illinois and Israel. Showdown 2. Tom Brady.
Was there any bit of you thinking, what do I do if this goes in the water?
Okay, first of all, I was not thinking at that moment. There was not a thought.
So the daughter of the maker of the trophy won an apology to all the silversmiths from Brady. Did he get it, Jackie?
I don't think so. Was he thinking it was in the water? No, because he told us that if it went in, it was 80 feet under. So clearly he was not thinking.
It just shows you, Jackie. He only cares about his receivers during the games. He talked about the sharp edges on the bottom of the trophy, and he's throwing it to his receivers whose hands matter the most.
30 seconds, Israel Gutierrez.
Well, thank you, Tony. Freddie Freeman and his wife Chelsea just announced twins with a twist. I thought it was crazy interesting. So they tried to add to their family and have their fourth kid, but were told they couldn't have one. So they went with a surrogate. Well, just a few days later after that, they found out that Chelsea Freeman was indeed pregnant. So now the two have recently welcomed Brandon and Maximus Freeman into the family, and they're, I believe, 9-plus days apart. He has to tell that story every time he introduces his kids now. He has
to. Congrats to the family. What a story. We'll see you tomorrow.
The more kids, the better.